And so again, we're confronted with the passion of Jesus. And as we focus on his passion, we have to remember what this is about. Jesus is our Savior. Huh? And when I woke up this morning, I got to sleep in a little bit, which is like, oh, thank you, God. When I woke up, the first thing right next to my bed, I have the image of the Divine Mercy. And so the first thing I do every morning is look at the image of Christ. And this morning, the first thing that was on my heart and in my mind was, boy, how much I need you, Jesus. How much I need you to be my Savior. And so that's what we want to focus on in this time, that we need a Savior. And since we need him, we have to surrender to him. And then we got to be thankful to him. But let's first focus on the reality of how much we all need a Savior. You see, I think a lot of people really don't think that. I think a lot of people think that, okay, I'm okay myself, and they told me I need Jesus, and so I need him. But there isn't that inside of us, that deep longing that I need to be saved. What do we need to be saved from? Well, we need to be saved from our sins. All of us have them. And again, as I've said a million times, the closer you are to Christ, the closer you are to God, the more you know how much you need him. The more you know how much you're a sinful person. Again, if this room was filled with light and light was coming in here from the sun, you'd be able to see the dust. And there's a lot of this dust in this room right now. The more sun there is, the more dust and dirt you see. The more dark it is, the less dust and dirt you see. The same with our souls. A soul that is imbued with the grace of God, and the grace of God is shining deeply into it, is very well aware of its sins, very well aware of the dirt in its heart. The soul that's far from God doesn't think it has much sin at all. Compared to most people, they're pretty good, huh? They can sit there and say, well, you know, other people are up shopping at the mall right now. Here I am in church. I'm a good person. That ain't what we're looking at today. We're looking at we need a Savior. And so the first thing Jesus does is he saves us from our sin. Jesus also saves us from our addictions. You know, everyone in some way is addicted to something, huh? You know, they're addicted to other selves, having things their own way, to sexuality, to money, to greed, to their own opinions. We're all addicted to something. And Jesus came to save us from those things that we're addicted to, those things that we become slaves to. But again, when you and I look at Jesus and we look at the cross, we shouldn't just sit there being going, oh Lord, I feel so guilty. We should be looking at him thinking, Jesus, I don't want one second of the suffering you did to be wasted on my account. Jesus, I need your blood. I need your death to save me. And to have that real deep sense that you and I need saved. Huh? Do we be saved from ourselves? You know, there's a great song out by Chris Rice. And he says, the greatest freedom I'll ever know is the freedom from myself. From my opinions, from my way, from my anger, whatever it happens to be. The greatest freedom we'll ever know is freedom from ourselves. And so Jesus saves us from our own selfishness. He saves us from all those things that when you look at Christ, when I look at Christ, we have to look at him. It's someone who's going to save us. Again, that, you know, in the paper I read this morning, that there was a woman walking down the dock and she fell in. She was going to die. The water down in the bay is cold. It was freezing. She couldn't swim. Someone had to go in there and save her. She knew as she was in that water, she needed the Savior. Do you and I know how much we need the Savior? Do we know that? And when they came in, she clung to them for dear life. That's what we got to do, is cling to Jesus for our very life. And see, that comes the next thing. Even if you and I know that we're a Savior, there's something about us Catholics that still want to do things ourselves, right? Okay, Jesus, you're my last resort. I'll pull you out, but I'm going to try to do it myself. I'm going to try to deal with my sins by myself. I will try to be a better person. I'm trying not to get angry anymore. I'm going to try not to give in to my eating habits. I'm going to try not to sit there and to look at stuff I shouldn't be looking at on the internet. I'll try, Lord. And Jesus looks at you and me and says, no, you're not. Your job is to get out of the way. You let me save you. And that's where we struggle, because we want to do it ourselves. And Jesus says, I'm not your savior if you can do it yourself. If that woman could get out of the water today herself, she wouldn't need a savior. She had to look at someone else and say, I can't do this. You got to help me. And she let people help her, and she got saved. Same with us. With those struggles that we have in our life, our job is to get out of the way and let Jesus take control. Now, that woman that was in the water, she had to cooperate with them, right? She couldn't just fight them, or she'd have drowned. You know, if they were coming to grab her and she's kicking away their hands, she'd have went over. So, when you and I acknowledge that we need a Savior, then we got to let Him save us, and we got to cooperate with Him saving us. It's just that simple. So when you and I come before, or you and I, will we have that act of humility in our hearts? That Jesus, I need you to save me. And I give you permission to save me. And Jesus, I surrender to you. Again, when I'm doing men's conferences and everything else, and I've used the story before, and I use it at every conference, when a guy will say to me, Father, I've been struggling, and I say, stop, do it again. Father, I've been struggling, stop, do it again. Father, I've been, stop. What's the problem with what you're saying? I don't know, Father, you won't let me finish. The problem is you're saying, Father, you've been struggling. You've been trying. Stop it. Let Jesus save you. Huh? And what's that mean? That Jesus lives inside of you right now. You are the temple of the living God. He's always living inside of you. There isn't one moment of your life, as we talked about yesterday, where you and Jesus became one yesterday in the Eucharist. You and Christ are one. So he says, are you going to be in charge of your life, or am I going to be in charge of your life? What are you going to say? Jesus, you be in charge. I surrender. You live your life through me. Jesus, you do it. I can't. And then once he has saved you, and it's an ongoing process, huh? We're always need saved of something. Every day I wake up, I need saved of something. I'm sure with you too. Then what we got to have is when that woman was pulled out of the water today and she was saved, I'll bet you she was filled with gratitude. Thank you. I'd have been dead. Thank you. She knew, and she was come out grateful. You and I, when we do what we do, are we grateful to Christ for saving us? Are we grateful that we go around for the rest of the day thinking, oh my gosh, I should be dead. Oh my gosh, I've been addicted. Oh my gosh, I've been filled with myself. Oh my gosh, and Jesus saved me. You ever meet a person who first comes to Christ? They're ecstatic about Jesus because they have a true sense, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dying or dead. And Christ gave me a new life. Some of us who have been Catholics our whole lives, it doesn't make that big of an impact because we take it for granted. But you and I got to be so grateful that I, who was so addicted, I who was so filled with self, Jesus saved me. And he's always saving me. And instead of just coming and being, saying what I don't have, you and I today, especially on Good Friday, need to look at the Lord, the God of the universe, and just say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing all that for me. Thank you, Lord. And if we can really get there today, having a heart filled with gratitude and thanks, then this Good Friday isn't just another thing we do every year. So today, let's focus on three things. How much we need Jesus as our Savior. We need to surrender and let Jesus Christ save us. And then we got to have a thankful heart filled with gratitude. You got it? Get it? Gonna live it? Made sure you know his love today and forever. Amen. Yep, bring the book over. Right here. I guess. All you need now is a haircut and you'll be fine. Okay, let us stand. And again, during the general intercessions, the way we'll do it, as you can read in your book, is we will sit there and say, I'll do the let us pray, and then we're going to sit there and call you to pray. And then Deacon Doug will say, let us kneel, and then we're all going to kneel down, and you pray, because that's why we're kneeling. You just don't kneel down and say, okay, we're kneeling. You kneel down to pray for what we just asked you to pray for. And then he'll sing, let us stand, and then I'll do that prayer. Okay? Let us pray, dear friends, for the Holy Church of God throughout the world. That God, the Almighty Father, guide it and gather it together so that we may worship him in peace and tranquility.
Let us kneel. Let us stand.
Almighty and eternal God, you have shown your glory to all nations in Christ your Son. Guide the work of your church. Help it to persevere in faith, proclaim your name, and bring your salvation to people everywhere. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, the God who chose him to be bishop. May guide his health and give him health and strength, and to guide and govern God's holy people.
Let us kneel.